All right, we're going to look at Numbers 35, the first few verses, concerning the subject of Christ our refuge. Now, you know how, the book of Numbers, it's called Numbers because it has to do with a census. Making a record of the tribes of the children of Israel. The reason that was important is because they wanted a record of each one, and God's purpose in it was to make sure that we understand that Christ eventually, the humanity of Christ, would come through the tribe of Judah. And so these tribes, even though it was one nation, they were set up separately. And before Joshua was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, I'm going to talk about that next week, about Joshua, a type of Christ, and how Moses was forbidden to lead them into the promised land. And you know why. I won't get into that this morning. But Joshua led them in, because Joshua was a type of Christ. But before Joshua led them into the promised land, the Lord commanded Moses how to arrange the tribes. When as they were going through the wilderness, they had the tabernacle was at the center. And then he arranged the tribes. And then he also spoke of how the tribes, when they got into the promised land, how they would be arranged, and that each tribe was to be given a parcel of land, a territory that they were to develop and occupy. And all the tribes had this except for one, and that was the tribe of Levi. And they were the priests, and they didn't have land that they were to develop. Their job was to take care of the tabernacle and all the duties of the tabernacle, and that was a daily business. It wasn't just on Sunday or on Saturday or one time a year, it was daily. And the other tribes were, this is where the tithe comes in, the other tribes were to give a tenth of everything, not just money, to support the priestly tribe, the Levites. But the Lord did tell Moses to give the tribes of Levi, the people of Levi, certain cities. And I think I've got it written down here. They were to give them I don't remember how many cities. They were not given land. They were given 48 cities, and they were to go through these cities and they would do their work for the people in those cities. And six of these cities were designated as cities of refuge. And if you look at it, verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. You shall also give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them where they were to occupy. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. This was the things that were given to them by the other tribes. And the suburbs of the cities which you shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round. And you shall measure from without the city on the east 2,000 cubits. And he goes on through that. Verse 6. Look at verse 6. He says, among the cities which you shall give the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer. Now, a manslayer was one who unintentionally killed somebody else. And he says that he may flee thither. That's this: if a person unintentionally killed someone. The old covenant law stated clearly that premeditated murder was to be judged worthy of death, capital punishment. And let me tell you something. People talk about that today, about capital punishment. And they say, it doesn't deter crime. Well, it does. But that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it was justice. The punishment fits the crime. So under the old covenant, if somebody with malice aforethought murdered somebody else, that there was no escape from the death penalty. But these cities of refuge were for those who killed someone unintentionally. Now, you know, people say accidental murder. We don't believe there's anything such as accidents, but it was unintentional murder. And verse 6 says, and to them you shall add 40 and two cities. So you had six cities of refuge and 42 cities, 48, that the Levites could occupy. They didn't have a parcel of land now, but they could occupy that. And verse 7 says, so all the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 40 and 8. Them shall you give with their suburbs. And the cities which you shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many you shall give many, but from them that have few you shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inherited. So there's the situation. Now, beginning in verse 9, he starts talking about the system that he set up. And listen to this, verse 9, he says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares. That means unintentionally. This is not premeditated murder. So the crime here is what we call today manslaughter. Not murder, but manslaughter. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. This is verse 12. That the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. In other words, there was to be a judgment. And the judgment was to determine, was it really unintentional? That's what they wanted to know. And if it was, he says, and of these six these cities which you shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge. You shall give three cities on this side of Jordan. Now, three of them were in the actual promised land. And three cities you shall give in the land of Canaan on the other side. And what that showed is that he was making this easier for a manslayer to get to a city of refuge. In other words, this was not something that they had to turn on a Google Maps to find. All right? It was easy. And he says in verse 15, these six cities shall be refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, that is a foreigner who had come into the land, for the sojourner, the traveler for them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And that's the law of the city of refuge. So the manslayer, if unintentionally killed someone, he could flee. The family, what we call the revenger of blood. Now what that was, it was a male relative or relation to the one who was killed. And he could kill the person who unintentionally killed his relative. That was the law of God under the old covenant. This wasn't vigilante justice now. This wasn't a mob, a lynch mob. If somebody unintentionally killed somebody else, that person who was killed, the male relative who was responsible for them, for their family, could go and kill them. That was God's justice. But the only out for the manslayer was to flee to one of these cities of refuge. And if he got in that city, he was safe. The avenger of blood could not touch him. And what happened here, as long as the person stayed in one of those cities, he was safe until he could be tried and a judgment was made by the court that he actually did this unintentionally. And if it was determined that he did it unintentionally, he could stay in that city of refuge. And there's one other thing that we read as, and this is in different parts of the Old Testament, and I didn't want to turn to all these verses, but I've got many of them marked on your lesson so that you can look at them yourself. But he could stay there safely, and the only way he could get out of that city of refuge and not be killed was when whoever was the current high priest at that time, when that high priest died, they'd let him go and he could go back to his own land. Isn't that interesting? And so if the attacker left the city of refuge before the death of the high priest, the avenger had the right to kill him. And you can read about that on down in the book of Numbers here, Numbers 35. Well, here's the bottom line. These cities of refuge obviously are types of Christ. Because Christ, where in the world, and you say, well, now, our sins, and I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, but, you know, our sins, you know, we commit sins. We're sinners. We commit unintentional sins. We commit intentional sins. All sin deserves death. But the only refuge that we have from the avenger of blood, which is represents the law of God, is to flee to Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, we read about this. It says that all those who are in Christ, he describes them this way in verse 18, talking about two immutable things. That's God's promise and God's oath in the gospel through Christ, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, strong comfort, strong safety, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And that's Christ. He is our refuge. Well, let me give you these details. First of all, number one, the sin here is manslaughter, not premeditated murder. But the crime, the point of this is this, the crime is no less worthy of death than any sin. Somebody says, well, I committed this sin, but I didn't do it intentionally. It's still worthy of death. Sin demands death. That's the point. All sin deserves death. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. A person has been killed here, and the law has been broken. So it's sin. And sin is sin, even if it's committed unknowingly, and all sin deserves death. Strict justice must be satisfied. In every case, God is a God of justice, and he cannot look over sin. I think about that psalm. I didn't put it in your lesson here, but I can't remember exactly which psalm it is. But it talks about how God hath not dealt with us, his people in Christ. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. And I always point out when I read that verse, notice it doesn't say God hath not dealt with our sins. He has dealt with our sins. He dealt with them in the person of Christ as they were imputed to him on the cross, imputed to him, and he went to the cross and died for those sins. So God dealt with our sins on Calvary. He put them away by the blood of his son. But he hadn't dealt with us after our sins in that sense. That's the glory of it. And why? Because we fled to the refuge, Christ Jesus. And so Christ provides refuge from these things. And it's to him alone we have to run to find refuge. He's our city of refuge. There's only one city of refuge spiritually. All these six cities represent Christ. Now the second thing is this, the avenger of blood. What does he represent? He represents God's law, which demands justice. Justice must be done. And again, the fact is we're all sinners. We're all transgressors of the law. And no obedience that we can muster or try can get us out of this mess of what we're in. There's none righteous. There's none good. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. And I always say if the Lord were to give any of us what we've earned or what we deserve, it would be eternal damnation. Why? Because sin demands death. Only righteousness demands life. And where are we going to find righteousness? In Christ, our refuge. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Here's the third thing. The sinner here is the manslayer who has become aware of his sin. He knows he killed somebody, whether accidentally or what, as they say, unintentionally. And that illustrates how the Holy Spirit in the new birth makes every one of God's elect aware that we're sinners, we're depraved, we're spiritually dead. He convicts us of sin because we believe not on Christ, of righteousness because he goes to the Father, of judgment. Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who of us would stand? There's the point. And this manslayer, he knows that he's done the deed, whether unintentionally or not. And that's us. When God the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we see what sin really is. We see what we really deserve and what we need. Like that old publican, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And here's the fourth thing. The cities of refuge represent God's mercy and grace, sovereignly, freely, fully provided, and given to his people in and by Christ. That's what they represent. Because again, in Christ we find safety, we find security. In Christ we find justice satisfied by his death as represented in the death of the high priest. Remember, the manslayer could stay in that city, he was safe, and the only way he could get out is the death of the high priest. Well, that's us. The only way we can get out of the mess we're in is by the death of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through into the heavens. Christ is our high priest, he's our altar, he's our sacrifice, he's our righteousness. And when he died, that set us free from any obligation to the penalty of the law that we'd broken. And so as long as we're in Christ, he's our refuge. And how long are we going to be in Christ? Forever and ever. As long as we're in Christ, God's mercy abides. God's grace and his love abides. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. God cannot and will not impute sin to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. You see, those are all the realities of our city of refuge. Now, there were six cities, and on the back of your lesson, the names of these cities are revealed in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. And listen to what they are. Every one of these cities, the name represents some blessing, some benefit that we have in Christ. The first one was Kadesh, and that means holy place. And sometimes it can mean righteousness. Christ is our holy place. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Holy One of God. He is our holiness. He is our sanctification, and he's our righteousness. He was made sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him we have the perfection of the righteousness of the law, and the law cannot touch us. We're dead to the law, Romans 6 says. We're free from the law. What does that mean? That mean that we can go out and sin as much as we want? No, it means we cannot be condemned for our sins. We're justified. We're forgiven on a just ground, the blood of Christ. We're righteous in God's sight based upon his righteousness imputed. That's what Kadesh tells us. The next city is Shechem. And Shechem means shoulder. Has to do with strength. Christ is our strength. He's our power. But when I see that word shoulder, I think about Isaiah 9:7. You remember in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty Counselor," and all of that. And it says in verse 7, "And the government was upon his shoulder." And what does that tell us about Christ? That means all the conditions and qualifications and stipulations and requirements of my whole salvation was placed squarely on his shoulders and not mine. That's what grace is all about. Christ carries the burden, and he's able to do so. He's powerful. He's the Son of God incarnate. And he is invincible, he's impeccable, and he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by him. All the conditions were laid upon him, and he fulfilled all those conditions. And not only does he save us, he keeps us, he preserves us. As we're going through this life, you know, so many things that seem to put us down, that seem to defeat us. But we know, what did Christ say? He said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." It's on his shoulders. And I think about, you know, you see these pictures. I don't like these pictures of Jesus. I don't like them at all because nobody knows what he looked like. But I did see one years ago where it had what they called Jesus with a lamb on his shoulder. And spiritually, that's it, isn't it? Christ has taken us and picked us up out of off the dunghill of sin and put us on his shoulder. And he carries us through. The next city, the third one, is Hebron, which means fellowship. And what is that talking about? Well, In Christ, we're brought into an eternal, unchangeable fellowship with the Godhead. 2 Peter 1:4 talks about being partakers of the divine nature. Well, what is the divine nature? That's God. And that word partaker means fellowship. And it's through Christ, in whom all the promises of God are yea and amen, that we're brought into fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. 1 John says our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. That fellowship was broken in the garden when Adam fell. He was alienated from God. And when we're born into this world, we're born in a state of alienation in our mind by wicked works, the scripture says. But when we see the glory of Christ, what do? We run to the city of refuge. We run to Hebron, you could say. And we're brought into fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We who once, as the Apostle Paul wrote, we who were once afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. See, that's the blessing. And then the fourth city is Bezer, or Bezer, however you want to pronounce it. And that means stronghold. It means fortress, a fortified place. And what does, in the book of Nahum, this verse, Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He is our stronghold. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. He's the rock of ages. He's our foundation. He's our chief cornerstone. He's our hiding place. God has put us in the cleft of the rock. And nothing, even though we might suffer, we might go through trials and temptations, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing can condemn us. And so that's Bezer or Bezer. And then the fifth city is Ramoth, which means exalted. Has to do with heights. And because of Christ's work of redeeming us on the cross, he himself is exalted to the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And he exalted us. We're risen with him. We're in him. And the scripture teaches that. It teaches that when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose again, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. Not personally, but legally, representatively, in the person of Christ. And then the last city is Golan, G-O-L-A-N. And that means joy. It means exaltation. We joy in God through Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. You know, there's so many times in our lives where we're unhappy for one reason or another. But we can always rejoice in Christ, looking to him. He'll never disappoint. He'll never leave us in the, as old Bunyan used to say, the slough of despond. He'll never leave us there. I know that from experience. You do too. You've had experiences in your life where there's been great, great sorrow. And there's probably more to come. But he'll never leave us there because there's always joy in him. And so we enter in to the joy of the Lord. That's spoken when Christ spoke of the judgment. When we stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that'll be declared before the whole universe, and he'll say, enter into the joy. Well, we won't turn over there, but over in Deuteronomy 19, there are some laws that are spelled out in more detail than we have here in Numbers, concerning the cities of refuge. And one of the things that Deuteronomy 19 teaches us is that God told Joshua, and this came through Moses, even though Moses didn't go over into the promised land, to assign individuals, men, to keep the roads to the city of refuge clear. Prepare the way to the cities, he said. What does that mean? That means pave. Now, they didn't have blacktop back then or asphalt. So what does it mean they pave the road to the city? I know, I think it's in the in one of the Revelation verses, which talks about a paved road. In other words, the way's made clear. We don't have to work on it. We don't have to fill in the potholes or anything like that. It's already a done deal. Christ has already paved the way to God. And in Deuteronomy 19, I've got that list here. You can read it yourself. He says, prepare the way to these cities. Keep the roads clear. Keep all obstructions off of them so that a manslayer who's guilty of the crime can get there without hindrance. And you know what that is? That's a picture of a gospel preacher or a gospel witness. Point sinners to Christ. That's what we do. And don't clutter up the way with legalism and works and free willism and progressive sanctification, as they say. Don't clutter it up with all the things that men and women try to bring before. You know, you got to do this. You got to jump over this hurdle. You got to crawl under that ditch. Don't do that. Just preach, as Paul called it in 2 Corinthians 11, the simplicity that's in Christ. It's all in Him, the glory of His person, the power of His finished work. Preach the gospel, be instant, in season, out of season. Let's just talk about Christ. Somebody said, well, let's talk about us. Well, I have talked about us. We're sinners. Some old preacher said one time, he said, well, what part do you have in salvation? He said, well, I've done all the sinning. Christ done all the saving. And that's it. The psalmist wrote, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Flee to the refuge that's set before us. And everything else get out of the way. Brother Mahan used to say that. He said, preach Christ and then get out of the way. Just point to Christ. Okay, that's it.